Like to also welcome each one that has come out tonight. Appreciate your presence, especially you that are still lost. You know, a little over 24 hours, I guess, has passed, and I want to ask you tonight, are you still unsaved? Church, I want you tonight, as it was mentioned last night, that we need to work together. Amen. We need to work together. And you know, I thought about David when he was going up against that giant Goliath. That you know he'd went out and he'd killed the bear and he'd killed the lion. He put on that armor. Saul put his armor on David and he said it hadn't been tested. And he took that armor back off. But there was somebody that he had tested, and that was the Lord. The Lord was with them. The Lord used them. Just as the Lord can use every one of us. You know, it says the church is a body, but it's made up with many members. And he goes on, it talks about the hand and the foot. But you know, there's a lot of things we can't do on our own. But if we come together as one, a lot of things can be accomplished. I thought about David as he was going out against that giant. He picked up 5 stones. But you know what? He had something else in his hand. He had a sling. He had a sling in his hand. So you know, the stone didn't kill that giant. He used that sling with the stone. And he took that giant's life with the help of God. So some of us might be the sling, some of us might be the stones, but whatever we are, we need to come together and try to do the Lord's work. I was thinking about the storms today. I just watched the Weather Channel just for a short time and how these storms have hit Oklahoma again and more lives have been lost. It's sad. And I hope these lives that was lost, that their souls were saved. But you know what? I bet 15, 20 minutes before that storm hit, that tornado come through, they didn't ever think about losing their lives. But it happened pretty quick. And Sister Laura, I got to thinking, 2009. I was able and I had the opportunity to help in a revival that year. And I was standing up here preaching. And the cows started going off. Storms were coming. The tornado warnings were out there. And we headed to the basement. Looked for cover, but we didn't quit our services. But I thought, and I saw that night there was a bigger storm that was stirring. Stirring Sister Laura's soul. That storm ain't stirring no more, is it? Lord saved her soul during that revival. And we had a good revival that year. Several souls got saved. And you know that revival that me and Brother Miller preached in that year? The Lord blessed. And you know what? He can keep on blessing. He can bless this year. But we got to have that faith. We tell these lost people, you got to have faith. You got to trust in the Lord. And he'll save you. Well, we as a church, we got to be just like David. We got to trust in the Lord. And when we do, things are going to happen. I don't have no doubts whatsoever. Because I still believe the God that we served in 2009 is the same God that we serve today. I still believe the day that I got saved back in 1994 is still the same God that we serve today. Same God that every one of you that's been saved by the grace of God. Thank the Lord that he's an unchanging God. Thank the Lord that he's still a merciful God. And that he's still in the saving business. So sinner friend, there is hope for you tonight. There is hope for you tonight. Trust in him. And the Lord will save you. He can save you if you get to where you need to be. Matthew 13th chapter. Verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go that we go gather them up? But he said, nay, least while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. You know, I don't have to stand here and try to explain what he was saying there, because I got some more scripture I'm going to read. You know, Jesus was speaking in a parable. And sometimes it got where the people, when he was would be speaking about spiritual things, that people had trouble trying to understand what he was teaching them and what he was telling them. So he started teaching them and talking to them in parables that they might try to understand. It was, I guess it's been said that he would tell them an earthly story, but it would be with a heavenly meaning, is what he was trying to accomplish. But you know, when he told this story about the wheat and the tares, which was the weeds, his disciples didn't really understand even what he was talking about. So he goes on a little bit further, and we go down to the 36th verse. It says, then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went to the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declaring to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That Son of Man is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who that is. Goes on to say, the field is the world. Says the good seed are the children of the kingdom. I believe with all my heart that is the saved people. The good, that's those that have been saved by God's grace. Those that had trusted in the Son of God. That's who these people are. It says, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. That's the unsaved. That are you that have been seeking after the Lord. That is you that haven't seeked after the Lord. That you continue to reject God's word. That you continue and you refuse to believe what the preachers and stuff are preaching to you. What we're trying to tell you. That you refuse to believe it. You refuse to trust it. And that is why that you're still unsaved. So the unsaved are the wicked ones, and the wicked ones are those that are lost. I think the scriptures teaches that if you're not of God, you're of the devil. And the devil is a wicked one. It says that they are the children of the wicked one. So if you're not of God, you got to be the children of the wicked. And we know that that's Satan. It says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Did you hear that? The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the wicked one. And did you hear what he said, what Jesus said? He said he's your enemy. He's our enemy. I think we mentioned that last night, that we're at a warfare. And usually when you're at war with your enemy. And that's where we're at tonight. We're at war. It says the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. It says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Verse 42. And he says, and shall cast them into, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. He says, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Says, who hath ears to hear? Says, let him hear. Did you listen to the scriptures that I read tonight? Did it make any sense to you? You know, Jesus told it one way, then he turned around and explained it another way, but it was still all the same thing. He's telling that there are those that are saved, that we're going to have a better place to go to. A place that is called heaven. And he went on to tell us about Satan. He went on to tell us about the devil. That he's our enemy and how evil that he is. He's a liar, people. He ain't nothing but a liar. He's a deceiver. We can go back at the beginning of creation, when God created man, and how he created Adam, a helpmate, how he created Eve for Adam, and how they was in the garden, and how that old serpent came, that old devil came, and deceived Eve. He was a liar then, he's a liar now. He's your enemy. Why is he enemy? He hates you. Do you know that? There is one that loves you, but there's also one that hates you. Jesus Christ, he loves you. The scriptures tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We all know that familiar scripture, don't we? That he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. But you know what? Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to come and do what his Father wanted him to do. He was obedient into it. If you're going to serve God, and if you're ever going to be saved by the blood of Jesus, you got to be obedient. There's a lot to that about being obedient. But then the scriptures go ahead, and what I read, it talked about that the world is going to be destroyed. The tares, the weeds that they're talking about, and the world was going to be burned up. Do you believe that? Do you? The scriptures teach us that the world is going to be burned up. Fire and brimstone is going to come down. I think Sodom and Gomorrah was set up for an example of the things that were to come. Because the sin was so great in those cities that they were destroyed. The homosexuality that was in them cities, it was running rapid. It was great. What's that remind you of today? We're headed in the same direction, people. We're headed there. If you don't believe it, cut the TV on and listen to what ours are, that are in control of the laws and making the laws and passing laws. It's wrong. And those cities were destroyed because of that. And how were they destroyed? Fire and brimstone fell upon it. So I believe that this world is going to be destroyed. That's what the scripture said. It said it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Before it burns up, though, the angels are coming. Jesus is coming back, people. You can believe it if you want to, or you can deny it if you want to. But I hope that you believe it, because it's truth. If you look at the condition that this world is in today, Jesus is coming back. And I know that the scriptures teaches that no man knows when that's going to happen. But I believe with all my heart it's going to happen. You know what? They didn't believe Noah when he said that the rains were going to come and the floods was coming. They didn't believe Noah then. There's people that don't believe the word of God today. And you know what? It's going to be sad. Because when the rains came and the floods came, it destroyed the world as they knew it. And they'd never seen it rain before. Never rained before. What was it, 120 years that Noah was building that ark? And he wasn't just building the ark, he was preaching to the people. He said, the scriptures teach us and tell us that he was a preacher of righteousness. That he was warning the people. But you know what? They laughed at him. Here we are. People's laughing at us today. People's laughing today. So I tell you what. You want to get saved, you better get serious about it. Because we don't have that promise of tomorrow. We don't have that promise. But I'm telling you, he's coming back. And you better be prepared. Sister Laura requested prayer a while ago. Here's another one. Young man have a car wreck and he lost his life. You think when he got up yesterday morning, if he had his wreck last night, that when he got up yesterday morning that he was going to take his last breath before he ever went back to bed? We don't have that promise, people. We don't have it. What if Jesus come back tonight? Where do you stand? What condition is your soul in tonight? Are you even concerned about your soul? Because I want to tell you something. When you depart from this world, you're going to a place eternally. We're just here on this earth, this world that I read about that's going to burn up. We're just here for a little while. But there are two different places that we go to, and that's heaven and hell. Didn't I tell you last night that you're going to hear about hell? If I have to drive it and just beat it in your brain that you understand it, I'm going to preach about hell. But that ain't all I'm going to preach about. I'm going to preach about Jesus. I'm going to preach about Jesus, about the way you can escape the deep pits of hell. I'm going to preach about heaven because it's a place that we all hope want to go to. That's where I'm going. I thank the Lord for Brother Moran. That man brought the gospel to me. I love him dearly. I'm glad the Lord used him. He didn't save my soul, but the Lord used him as a mouthpiece. To warn me, to tell me the shape that my soul was in if I've never been covered by that blood. And that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. I'm trying to warn you. It's just them sirens go off. Gabe called, or my grandson called me yesterday morning. Or yesterday evening sometime whenever it happened. I was up studying and he called and I answered the phone. He said, "Where yet, Poppy?" I said, "I'm upstairs studying." He said, "Where?" He said, "The cows are going off. There's a tornado warning going off. I was wondering where y'all was at." We preachers are like them sirens that go off. They call them cows, painted up like these big old Holsteins. It's a warning system. that tries to get us prepared before the storm hits. That's what I'm trying to do to you tonight. I'm trying to give you a warning before your life is taken from you. Before Jesus comes back, I'm trying to warn you that you would get right with God. What if he come back tonight? What if he showed up into this house tonight? It's his house. What if he showed up and he walked through these doors tonight? And he says, I've come back to get my people. He said, I want you that have been covered by the blood. I want you that have your name recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. He said, I'm not talking about you just that go to church every Sunday morning. I ain't talking about you that go to church when the doors are opened up. I'm not talking about you that was raised in some other type of doctrine, whatever it might be. I'm talking to you that have been born again by the grace of God and that your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's who I'm talking to. He said, I want you to line up into this aisle right here because I've come back to take you home. You, he said, I've got your name recorded. I know who you are. See, you can't lie to God. You can't lie to Jesus. You may lie to your parents. You may lie to your husbands, your wives, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, whoever it might be. You may lie to them and tell them that you're all right with God when you're not. Can you go back to that time and place? Can you go back to that time that the Lord convicted your heart and troubled your soul so that you couldn't find no peace until you got right with them and the Lord saved you? Can you do that? I'm not talking about going up and shaking the preacher's hand or going to some class and telling you how you need to live. I'm asking you, have you been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Have you been covered in that name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? That's who I want to come over here and stand in this aisle because I'm taking you home. But you others, I don't want you over here. I want you to come over at this aisle. I want you to line up over here. Because there's another place that you're going to. I'm taking these people over here. He said, I'm taking them to heaven with me. I'm going back to my Father. They're going home. But you that I want to come over here and line up, you're not going there. You're going to hell. I warned you, I told you that you need to get right with me, that your name needed to be recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't see it written down. That means to tell me that you was never saved, you never trusted in me, you rejected me. You wouldn't believe what the preachers was telling you. You wouldn't believe what your moms were telling you, your dads were telling you, or your grandparents were telling you. You refused it. And then there'll be some that would try to sneak over here. So I believe you now. I believe you now. Let me go with them. It's too late. It ain't going to happen, people. It's too late. The scriptures teach us and tell us that when he comes back, the state that your soul is in is the state that it's going to remain in. It's too late. You had all the time in the world to get right with God, but you had too many other things to do. Had too many more important things to do that you thought was important. And what it do? It cost you your soul. You might not understand the parables that I read about Jesus and what he was telling you, but am I making any sense to you? The saved are lined up here and we're going out the front door and we're going to heaven with Jesus. He's taking us. But you're not going to be able to go out that door. He's instructing you to go out the back door that you can't go with him. What if that was to happen tonight? It could happen. Not in the way that I've explained it to you. Because when he comes back, he's just going to come get his people and take them with him. But I'm trying to illustrate to you, because sometimes we need to see the big picture maybe, or have to draw a picture. And I hope this picture makes a little bit of sense to you, that these here, they're covered by the blood and they're going to heaven. And those that are over here, they're lost and separated from God and they're going to hell. Eternal damnation. Eternal destruction. And you know what? That's the way it is. You can't change it. You're not going to go to hell and expect somebody to pray you out of it or plead to the Lord and say, but they're my children. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my boyfriend. It's my girlfriend. Let them come and go with me. It ain't going to happen. You've been saved by the grace of God, heaven is going to be your home. A place where it tells us that there is no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no suffering. The older I get, the more I hurt. The older I get, the more I hurt. Some of you are a lot older than me, and you must ache a lot. Because I tell you, but we're going to a better place. Amen. Brother Miller made mention with Miranda up here last night after she gave that testimony. No, she can't walk right now. And she may never walk in this life. But he made a remark that maybe not in this life, but in the other life, we'll be walking again. Right, Sister Purdue, there's another time that you won't be suffering, you won't be hurting like you have been, that you'll be able to walk and talk just like the rest of us. Amen. She knows that. She believes that. Everybody here needs to know that and believe that.
Amen.
That it's real. Salvation is real.
Amen.
The blood that Jesus shed for us is real. And I got news for you. Hell is real too. Because Jesus tells us about it. And you know what? Jesus is nothing but truth. Jesus cannot lie. He can't do it. So what I read about the words that have been written, yeah, they were words written by man, inspired by God. But the words in a lot of these Bibles are red lettered to where it lets you know that it's the words of Jesus himself speaking. When I have read the red lettered words in my Bible, that's Jesus speaking to me and tells me that heaven is real. He tells me that hell is real. Sinner friend, I got news for you. You need to get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Church, we've got work to do.
Amen.
There may be one here tonight that has never admitted that they're lost, or they deny it because they think they're right because of some other teachings or some other doctrines, whatever it might be, that they think they're all right with the Lord. I know that because I'm guilty of it. There was a time that I thought I was all right, that I was deceived, but I'm not deceived no more. Thank the Lord that he brought me into this church and I heard the truth speak and it convicted my soul. Now, church, what we need to do, and it was mentioned in our prayer meeting this morning, talking about one of the men here was in the revival last night, want to know if he's really shown any conviction. And we don't really know. But it was mentioned this morning when we met in prayer meeting that as a church, that we need to get together as a church and work together and pray for the power of God to come down and convict the hearts of these sinners that they do have such a storm up in their soul that they can't find no peace until they turn it over to the Lord. You know why I say that? Because that's what happened to me, Brother Todd. The power of conviction, how it troubled my soul. I was scared to death to die and go to that place that's called hell. I was scared to go to that place where that rich man went and he was crying and he was tormented. And he just wanted to send Lazarus back. He's telling Abraham, just send Lazarus back and let him just put his finger in the water, just the tip of it, so he might touch my tongue to give me some relief. You know what that sounds like to me? That's a lot of pain and suffering. The scriptures that I read, that I finished up on, it said the gnashing. It says the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand what the wailing is? That's just people screaming and hollering, just probably screams like we've never heard before because they're in such pain and torment. The gnashing of teeth. Do you understand what the gnashing of teeth is? It means that they're just grinding their teeth and there's so much pain. How many times do we grit our teeth when something happens? We just start gritting our teeth, making faces. That's what's going on in hell today. But you know what? A lot of our pain passes here. A lot of the things that go on with us, it passes, and then we're okay. But you know what? This wailing and gnashing of teeth, this torment, it's not just mentally, it's physically too. I believe the people that have died and gone to hell, they're in pain and they're in torment. Their bodies are hurting, they're suffering. But you know what? Mentally, I think they're hurting and suffering too. Because I think that they knew and will remember the times that they rejected God's word. That they remember the times that the preacher cried out and begged them to seek after him that they might be saved. I believe that's brought back to them. Ask the rich man, do you remember? I'm just paraphrasing, but talked about how much wealth he had and how good of a life that he lived. That Abraham asked him, do you remember? Do you remember everything you had? He didn't want for nothing. He had all the food on the table that he wanted, but there was a man named Lazarus that he sat at the gate just wanting the crumbs from the rich man. Abraham asked him, do you remember that? So you know what? That tells me that we're going to remember things back here. Not when we get to heaven, but I believe one of the torments and stuff that when you die and you go to hell, that you're going to remember the things that you should have done. That you're going to remember the opportunities that you had and you refused and you reject them because you just didn't want to, didn't worry about it. But you know what? When I die, and I go to heaven, and I leave y'all behind, I'm not going to remember one of you. You that are lost, I'm not going to remember one of you. You know why? Because if I was in heaven, and I knew about the things that were going on here, my heart would be broken. If I was in heaven, and I could look back down here, and see these that are lost and see my family and see my friends and my fellow workers that I feel like that are lost or are lost, I wouldn't be happy in heaven. Amen. My heart would be troubled, but that ain't the squat the scriptures teach us. It says there is no sorrow. I think we get to heaven, we're going to be as happy as we can be. We're not going to suffer and not going to be in no pain. We're going to have our eyes on Jesus. And whatever's going on down here, I'm not going to know about it. Amen. I'm not going to know about it. But I think it's just the opposite if you die and go to hell. You're going to know things. The rich man asked, send Lazarus back to warn my brothers. See, he knew that he had five brothers. And evidently, he felt like those brothers were lost and separated from God. Because why else would he want to send Lazarus back to warn them? Because he did not want them to come to this place of torment. He remembered he had five brothers that were lost and I guess in the same condition that he was in when he died. So I'm warning you people, you that don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get to know him. Today is the day of salvation. I'm asking you, have you been born again? That's the only way that you're ever going to get to heaven. You must. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? You must. That tells me that there ain't no other way. You must be born again. In other words, you must be saved to ever enter those pearly gates. It's the only way. Today is the day of salvation. Brother Ronnie, Lord's done with me. Sinner friend, I don't care how old you are. You may be in your 50s, 60s. I can start younger, 20s, 30s. I don't know, but I don't care how old you are, you need the Lord. Amen. I don't care where you're from, you need the Lord. I don't care what you was raised in or what you was taught or what churches you went to, you need the Lord. Amen. You need to be saved. And I'm so thankful that our Lord is not a respecter of persons. I'm not sure how old Sister Laura was when the Lord saved her, but she wasn't a child. I was 34 years old when the Lord saved me. I wasn't a child. God can save anyone. Anyone, any age, any time. He can save you. But you got to want to be saved. I tell you, there are going to be people that's going to be surprised when Jesus comes back. Because they've gone on their life thinking they're all right. But their names have never been recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. When you depart this world, are you in this aisle? Or are you in this aisle over here? Where do you stand with the Lord? I hope tonight that you'll be able to stand and say, I'm going with Jesus. I hope you can stand tonight and say, I'm going where my Lord and Savior is. I'm going to go where my Creator lives. But I'm not going to go to that place where my enemy's going to be at. I'm not going to go to that place because, see, that's where Satan's going to be. That's where that devil's going to be. That's where your enemy's going to be. That's where that liar's going to be. He's going to be in hell. So you're either going with Jesus or you're going with the devil. Who you going with? It's up to you. Nobody else. But church, let's pray. Let's pray for that power of conviction. Before we have a song, there are seekers. There are people that's come up here seeking. Let's come and pray before we even have a song. Amen. If you don't know where you stand with the Lord and you're confused and you're not sure and you don't understand, come and pray. At least come and pray once with us. And if you feel the need to stay up here and pray longer, you stay and we'll pray with you. But I guarantee you, you need to get in touch with God. That's what you need to do. You need to get in touch with the Lord. Everybody that can and will, let's come and pray for the power of the conviction that will come down upon these that are lost, that they might be saved. Lord, help.